Each month he's got pictures on it of our grandchildren and our children according to birthdays. And he's usually pretty right on about whose birthday goes with what month and anniversaries of our children and pictures I haven't seen yet that he's taken during the year. And so I always look forward to that. But in the new year, there will be times of sorrow. There will be times possibly that your faith is even tested where it hasn't been tested before. Maybe there'll be times where there's even slow progress in your Christian life. We shouldn't be surprised by any opposition that Satan might even throw in your way by sorrow or through a trial. But Paul says, beware, be cautious. But there are times like that. And when those times come, maybe in the new year, think about the Apostle Paul and beware and be careful. To just remember that we do have an enemy, and his name is Satan. Amen? And it's his job to distract and to deter you and to basically make your life miserable if he can. But thank God we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And but anyway, there will be some opposition in the new year. Maybe opposition comes at work. Maybe it comes at school. Maybe it comes in other forms. But we can always rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is by our side and has promised to help us if we'll take our problems to him in prayer, as we mentioned this morning. But our obligations as God's people in Philippians chapter 3, notice verse number 13. The Apostle Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before. You know, this brand new year, as God's people, we have the opportunity to share the love of Christ, not only with one another, but with people around us. God's love is a wonderful thing. Amen? God's love is unconditional. God's love has no limits. And that's the love that he has given to us in the person of Christ. And it's a wonderful thing when God's people express God's love and show God's love to those that are around. And someone has said, if you spend your life pleasing yourself, you become selfish. If you spend your life pleasing people, it makes you a slave. If you spend your life pleasing God, it makes you content. And that's true. And if we're trying to please the Lord, we're going to be happy. We're going to have a happy countenance. We're going to be content. And so we have a new year where we have the opportunity to please him. And there are many things that do please the Lord. But in the new year, we should love the Lord Jesus Christ, to love as Christ loves. And his love, as we said, is that agape love from above. The love that can't be measured. How do you measure the love of God? How do you understand even the fact that he would come to this world as he did? Amen? As every Christmas we're reminded of the incarnation and how he paid that special visit from heaven and stepped away from his place in heaven to take on himself the form of a man and to live the life that he lived without sinning and being the perfect man and then allowing himself to be crucified and to become sin for us who knew no sin, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. How can we even understand the measure of that kind of love? Amen? So that we can experience the new birth and that we can look forward not only to the blessings of God in this life and claiming the promises of God in his word and having his blessing on our lives and our families, but also to have something even more than that to look forward to when this life is over. You know, the older I get, the more excited I am about heaven and what it's like and who's there and what it's all going to mean one day. And but in the event, we have the opportunity in the new year to love as Jesus loves. And the love of the Holy Spirit is unconditional and divine. And it's a wonderful thing. the way that God loves us. Our Sunday school teachers, you have a great opportunity this year to love the students in your class, to love those that come through the doors and sit down in your class, and to get to know them and pray for them and to be a blessing in their lives. We as God's people at our church, we have the privilege this year to love one another, and also to love those that are around us. Amen. God's love has no limits. Human love has limits. Human love says, well, I'll treat you nice because you treat me nice. I'll be a good neighbor if you'll be a good neighbor. But God's love loves regardless. Amen. God's love even loves those that are against Him. God loves those that are against Him and those that are rebellious. Thank God we're still living in the day of grace. Amen. We're still living in the church age. The trumpet hasn't yet sounded. You say, Pastor, how do you know the trumpet has not yet sounded? Because I'm here and so are you. Amen. And that is going to change one day when that old trumpet sounds. And then we enter a whole new stage, a whole new era. Right now, God's invitation is one of mercy and love and forgiveness. But when that clock has struck and that trumpet has sounded, then we enter a whole new area. God's wrath is being stored up. Some people say, well, I don't believe in God because how could He let things happen? God's not letting things happen. He's storing up His judgment. Right now, He's a loving, kind, forgiving God. But His patience one day will run out. When that trumpet sounds, that'll be the end of the church age. That'll be the end. No more gospel going out from churches after that. The Holy Spirit will be withdrawn. And you and I will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air one day, unless He tarries. If He tarries, it's because He's patient, more patient, and that last soul hasn't been saved yet. But we have the opportunity this year to spread the gospel of Christ to others. We have an obligation to love and to labor for His cause. The Bible says the night cometh when no man can work. You know, that's true of all of us, isn't it? Individually. There is coming a night when we're not able to work for Him anymore. Maybe by age or by death or some other circumstance. But for every Christian, that is true. The night cometh when no man can work. And so we're to use our time and our talents and our treasures in this new year in a way that brings honor and glory to the Lord. We're to reach forth in this new year into supporting other missionaries and to continue to support those that we have. And every year we take an evaluation of what we want to do in the new year, how much we can give to world missions each week individually. And we take it before the Lord as a matter of prayer. And together, you know, we discuss it in our families, what we can do, what God wants us to do. And miraculously, we put all of our coins together. And as a church, we send out those checks every month to good people that have surrendered to the call of missions. And you know, we enter into their labors, don't we? Right here from Community Baptist Church in Little Garfield, New Jersey, we're reaching out to places like Hong Kong. We're reaching out to the Philippines. We're reaching out to Haiti. We're reaching out to different places around the world and encouraging missionaries that are there laboring for the cause of Christ. And it's a wonderful thing. Only the judgment seat of Christ will reveal all that is done in His name. Amen. And so I'm thankful for our church taking a part in world missions each year. And I haven't added the totals this year, Henry, but I'm pretty sure we probably even surpassed last year. By the time this month is over, we probably gave, I think, close to $20,000 last year. And You know, for a small church, I'm just thankful that we're able to have a part in that. Amen? And we're to press forward towards the mark, the Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching out for the things that are before us. You know, there are many opportunities in this new year to serve God, many opportunities to sing His praises. You know, I love it when we get together here and we start singing those old hymns. You know, it seems like the worries and the cares of life just kind of roll off your shoulders. Amen. I'm glad that our children enjoy singing to the Lord, aren't you? Amen. Boy, you start them young enough, that's the key. You start them young enough, that's the key. And I get a thrill on Sunday morning sometimes. I'm sitting here in this chair and I'm waiting, you know, to preach. I've been studying, I've been praying, I'm getting ready to, I'm excited about preaching, and all of a sudden I'll start hearing the children singing from downstairs. I want to tell you, that's such a great encouragement to me. I feel like, wow, just let me get up there and preach. Amen. Those children, they don't know any different than to love Jesus. You know, children are pretty smart. It's the adults that have problems. Children can forgive. Children can be arguing with one of their friends today, and tomorrow they're back where they left off.
Amen.
I mean, they believe. You tell them about God, many of them, they'll ask questions because they're really interested. And some of their questions are really deep. Amen. Make a parent want to pray more. But I thank God for our children that come to our church and your children. But we're to press forward this year towards the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And there are many opportunities for each of us this year to serve Him. And many church services to attend. 52 weeks in the year. 52 Sundays. 52 10 o'clock Sunday school hours. 52 worship services in the morning. 52 Sunday night services. And all these opportunities to fellowship with God's people and to sing praises to God together and to listen to God's word and to press forward for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In this new year, we're to mark those objectives in our life. In chapter 3 and verses 13 through 16, the Apostle Paul, he tells us what his plans are. And he says, let us therefore, as many be perfect, be less minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. He's saying, let us be of the same mind. Let us strive together to go forward together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that be our main objective as God's children. To share His word with others and to remember our Lord's last words before He left this world. He gave the Great Commission, didn't He? You know, last words are so important. People cling to the last words of others when they leave this world. They want to listen, they want to hear because it's something important that they're saying and they're sharing with us. The last words of our Savior, He gave the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. Let's reread the last words of Jesus Christ before He ascended up into heaven. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. You know what's exciting is we may very well be living in those last days before the Lord returns. We may be that generation that doesn't see death. We don't know. But in any event, we're to go forward in this brand new year, Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. And so our other objective should be to promote worshiping God. You know, coming to church is about promoting His worship. Amen? To be here and to promote worship. You know, one of my favorite verses, and I think every pastor loves this verse, in Acts chapter 10, I'd like you to turn there and think about what it says. Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, the Apostle Paul says something very interesting to me. He says, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. That's pretty neat. I'd like to be able to say, and it's a dream of mine, to say, we are all here. We're all here. Everybody has come together at the same time. There's nobody sick. There's nobody, you know, on vacation. There's nobody staying home because they got their feelings hurt. We are all here. You know, if everybody came that says, Community Baptist Church is our church, we probably have to put up folding chairs on that particular day. Amen. But Apostle Paul, he records this, and they say to him, now therefore are we all here, present before God. We are here to listen. We're not, you know, playing with our phone. We're not thinking about, you know, what's cooking, you know, what's on TV tonight. We're not looking at our watch. We're not looking at the back clock. We're not, you know, falling asleep. Someone says, what do you do if the folks in church are falling asleep? Well, you wake up the preacher, amen? He's the one that put them there. He's the one that made them go to sleep. But we're all here before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. We're here and we're listening and we want to hear what you have to say. Pastor's greatest prayer request for his people that they're all there. And they're on time. And I don't expect a lot of amens when I say that, but if, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I like folks to be on time, amen? But you know what? I'm thankful when you even come late. Amen. I notice when you come, when you're absent. I notice when you're late. I notice when you come. And, you know, it's funny. We all have our own places we like to sit, place you feel comfortable with. Isn't that right? But what happens when you come on a Sunday morning and some visitor sits in your seat? What do you think? What's the first thought that comes to your mind? Praise God, hallelujah. It's the way it should be, amen? Instead of, oh man, I got to find a new chair this morning. I was thinking one Sunday morning, I could talk about him. He's not here, Brother Jimmy Rinelli. He likes to sit way over there in a special spot. And you know, it's funny. When you come for a while, everybody kind of gives you the freedom to sit where you want. This Sunday, it was pretty full. This auditorium was full. And Jimmy, he comes about the same time every week. And lo and behold, when he came through, I knew he was going to have to start searching. And he wound up right over here in the front. And I was looking at him laughing. He was laughing at me. Because we both knew that, you know, if he wasn't late, he'd have had his seat. But I say, first come, first serve. Amen? But in any event, it's important to be punctual. It's important to be attentive. It's important to be reverent. And Apostle Paul was recording this in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. Just a wonderful verse from my point of view. They said to him, now therefore are we all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And then Peter opened his mouth and started to preach. And now maybe that prayer request will never be answered. But a pastor can hope, amen? Amen. That we're all here some Sunday, all of us together with no one sick. I'm glad that heaven's not going to have illness, aren't you? I'm glad there's no cancer in heaven, no bronchitis in heaven, no aches and pains in heaven. I think of people that have left our pews and have graduated, and I think about I wonder what their life is like now. I wonder how much joy they're experiencing. And, you know, I think about how people gradually slow down, and I wonder if they're running, if they're exuberant, and they're able to do all the things they used to do when they are younger. Amen? And I believe that they are. Heaven has such a wonderful hope. You know, when you're young, you don't think about it so much, probably. You think you got all the time in the world. But you know, death claims all ages. Amen? Every day is a gift. If I've learned one thing, I've learned that. Every day is a gift. And tomorrow is promised to no one. Our Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If we open our eyes in the morning, it's a good way to start the day, is just say, thank you, Lord, that I've opened my eyes. Thank you, Lord, for another day that I have, that you have given to me. Walk with me today. Be my guide. Amen. In this brand new year, we've got a great opportunity before us, each of us. It's unmarked, not a mark on it. I want to encourage you to read your Bibles this year. Set new goals for yourself. You can read your Bible through this year. You can do it. You just take 3 chapters a day. Now, you might get behind some days. You might get behind some weeks. There may be a time where your trial is maybe heavy and you're not into it. You know what? You can catch up. This time next year, you'll be maybe looking at your Bible and saying, yeah, I'm almost there. I got one more day. I can make it. Amen. Oh, let's make 2013 the best year for us and for our families. And with the help of God, we can. Amen. Amen. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your love. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that this new year would be a year of great blessings as we trust you and as we walk with you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless our church especially, and Lord, help us to obey you and help us to love those that are around us. Help us to show your great agape love that knows no limits. Fill us with your Holy Spirit each day. I pray that you'd help us to get to know you better, and the Lord to know your word better. Bless our Sunday school teachers and all of our workers. And Father, I pray that you'd also bless the Macquaries as they leave here and as they go out to new challenge of their own. Lord, they're going to need your help. They're going to certainly need your blessings. Mm-hmm. And we do pray your very best upon them. And also, Lord, for my son-in-law, Brother Dave, and Lori and their family, may you continue to guide their life as well as they minister in Western New Jersey. Dismiss us with your blessing, and thank you again for your many graces during this year. We are thankful, and help us to serve you in this new year in a way that pleases you. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.